The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, a special edition for you here this week. I am your host once again, Anthony Marino, and being joined by Matt Perino of NewYorkUpstate.com. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Anthony, always a pleasure to discuss the Bills with you, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. As you know, we've talked about a number of your articles and features on the podcast in weeks past. And, you know, really it is that period of the year where kind of no news is good news, right? We're leading up to training camp. You don't want to hear too much of anything taking place off the field. Bills fans getting ready for training camp. But for yourself, what does it look like as you lead up to camp for the Bills and kind of getting ready for that grind of going from the off season to really things picking up and going full speed ahead?
For me, like, this next 10 days is really going to be about ironing down this roster and really getting myself comfortable with all 91 guys on this roster, because as you well know, and all of your readers and listeners know, this is a much better Bills team in 2019 with a lot more possibilities at every position across this roster. And when we're getting, you know, to the nitty-gritty of some of these position battles, it's good to really have done your homework and have an understanding and grasp of where these guys come from. I mean, you talk about the offensive line, and we put out an offensive line preview yesterday, and you know, you start going through these guys and little details like John Feliciano's, you know, experience with Bobby Johnson in the past and their time in Oakland. Those little details kind of paint a picture for you before you go into this thing, kind of knowing where things stand, who's comfortable with who. And I think that as we get into these final days, it's just about, you know, really diving in and getting as up to speed on everybody as possible.
Matt, I think it's great that you brought up the O-line article, because it's something I definitely wanted to touch base with you on today. Are we really going into a Buffalo Bills training camp where the top storyline for reporters like yourself, fans like myself, that we're going to be spending so much time and focus on the offensive line and the battles that take place there? It seems like such of a change of course from years past where there was so much attention paid on the quarterback battles.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's, you know, when I put that out there and I said that this is what I'm most excited for is some of these battles along the offensive line. I think it's important to remember that it's more than just about the offensive line itself and some of these players. And listen, a lot of times these guys are afterthoughts. You only talk about them when they're not doing their job. But what's so important about this year's offensive line and this year's individual position battles is, by extension, it impacts Josh Allen. It impacts the potential success that he can have this year. You go back and watch some of the tape down the stretch in year one and some of his real successful games. He's making plays while under serious, serious duress from the defensive line. I mean, the offensive line play on the right side, you hate to single out individual guys, but, you know, John Miller, Jordan Mills, these guys did not get the job done last year. So you talk about, you know, throwing a bunch of different guys into the mix, a chance on both sides of the line to be playing with an established top-tier center in Mitch Morse, now the highest-paid center in the NFL, is on your roster. And you just go through each position and go down the depth chart and kind of envision some of the battles that could take place. I know we were all high on Wyatt Teller last year, and he could be, you know, fighting for his roster life by the end of this thing.
Matt, an interesting piece as you bring this up and you talk about additions at the tackle position, right? Deion Dawkins, a lot of question in the offseason. Was he going to be kicked into guard? Is his roster spot even safe? Meaning that would the Bills potentially trade him? At least you'd hear some of those rumblings out there. But then you have the signing of Ty Nesecki. You have Cody Ford drafted in the second round. How do you see all of this playing out? Because that is going to be, I think, that, I don't want to call it the first domino to fall, but who is going to start at left and right tackle? And what happens with the third guy in this mix if he ends up kicking inside to one of the guard positions or truly coming off the bench as a swing tackle?
You know, I think that to start off with, I think it's Deion Dawkins and Cody Ford's jobs to lose. And it's funny because that comes with a caveat. I think Cody Ford might start with the second team off right off the jump in training camp because I think they're going to plug in Ty Nesecki there. He's a guy that, you know, has the experience. He signed here to have a chance to start. But I think they really want to give Deion Dawkins in his third year, a former second-round pick, every opportunity to be successful in a spot that they put him in. They traded Cordy Glenn. They moved him over to the left side. He showed pretty well at times in his rookie year, took a step back last year, but I think they're going to give him a chance now playing next to potentially a Quentin Spain or a Spencer Long, depending on how that all plays out. And Morse upgrades at those spots, see if he can maybe conjure up some of the good stuff that he put on tape his rookie season, playing with better guys. On the right side, I saw a roster projection from Pro Football Focus that had Ty Nesecki slotted as the starting right guard and kind of threw me for a loop for a second because I wasn't really thinking about him there. He's obviously a swing tackle. He started three games at left guard last year out of necessity in Washington, but his best tape, his best grades have come at that left tackle spot, and that's what I truly, with the way that Brandon Bean talked about Deion Dawkins after the season last year and, you know, the refusal to commit to him at that left tackle spot long term had me thinking that Ty Nesecki was going to be potentially in the mix at left tackle. Now, all indications from minicamp and OTAs were that Ty Nesecki's not in the mix there. Deion Dawkins has a lock on that spot. So then you move over to the right side, and I think it comes down to the guards too. If you have a John Feliciano and a Quentin Spain that really elevate themselves throughout training camp in the preseason, and you're confident that they bring enough to the table in those spots to have a cohesive and successful offensive line unit, I don't think you force those big guys inside. I think you know that this is the NFL. There's going to be injuries, and whoever are the best two tackles, you put them on the outside, and you let the other guy, you know, battle and compete in practice and work to get back in the game. And you know at some point they're probably going to be called upon because this is a very, very difficult league to keep everybody healthy along your offensive line.
You know, it is so different, right? You think of the 2018 season where depth was such an issue with the offensive line, and here we are having a discussion of all this new talent coming in. But really, I think a bit of an X factor, and you mentioned him in your article that came out at NewYorkUpstate.com, is the new offensive line coach Bobby Johnson. I think with so many of these signings, you would hear guys in there, you know, whether it's an interview on One Bills Live or you'd see in various press conferences or reports that they're, you know, singling out Coach Bobby Johnson is one of the reasons why they signed with the Buffalo Bills. What has been your take of the new offensive line coach for the Bills and really what he's going to mean to this unit moving forward?
Man, I'll tell you, I'm pretty jacked up about Bobby Johnson. You know, I think that you always look for, you know, from a coaching perspective, a guy that brings, you know, it's such a cliche in the locker room. You know, everybody's looking for the guys that bring juice. Well, I think you get a lot out of the coaches that bring juice. And right off the bat, that's the impression that I've gotten from Bobby Johnson, is that he's engaged all the time. He's high energy. He's in his player's face. He demands a certain level of accountability and, you know, nastiness. And I think that's one of the things you could say about this offensive line last year, is that it just wasn't nasty enough. I don't think that that guys were competing on these individual blocks determined to open holes in the run game. And I think that Bobby Johnson, you look last year at the success of the Indianapolis Colts offensive line, number two in pass protection, number four in run protection. And I think that, you know, that's an indication of the coaching staff there. And, you know, guys that, you know, play there, I'm forgetting the Indianapolis Colts blocker that, you know, really spoke out about Bobby Johnson when the Bills hired him, but they said you are going to get a guy that brings energy, that brings accountability, and that's right in line with what Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll are all about. And I think that, you know, I think it spoke volumes that, you know, in Cody Ford's press conference, he was asked about the fact that he's telling people that he could see himself playing in Buffalo for like a month because of the interactions, you know, and the excitement that he got from, you know, communicating with Bobby Johnson. And, you know, that's one thing that I think that isn't getting enough coverage right now, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to talk to Bobby Johnson for the first time at length in training camp, is the job that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have done with filling out this staff, more so Sean McDermott. You look at Ken Dorsey. A lot's been made of that hire, but I think that it's already paying dividends in you know, from a confidence level perspective of Josh Allen, getting a chance to talk daily with a guy that's worked with Cam Newton, that's played the position in the NFL and the college level, Bobby Johnson, the promotion and the courage to, you know, give a guy like Chad Hall a shot at wide receiver coach. I talked to Ray McLeod, and I'm going to put a story up about this either this week or next week. I was going through all my tape from camp. There was a lot of it. And Ray was talking up Chad Hall and the impact that he had on him last season when he was going through his struggles, and he's so called him his guy, and he's so excited to work with him as now the receiver guy. You have to be really paying attention to the pulse of your team to make a decision like that. For a guy like Chad Hall, who's very inexperienced, people speak highly of him, but it's rare to get that opportunity at a young age like he has. So I think they've done a good job putting people in play. Now it's in a position. Now it's about seeing what they do with it.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Well, and you talk about what they see, you know, what they can do with this. And I want to go back to your article that we actually discussed on last week's podcast. As you highlighted the five players for the Buffalo Bills that would be the most important for them to make a playoff push. And I commend you for this, because as I tried to go through the exercise myself, coming up with only five names was incredibly difficult to whittle it down when you think of, talk about the youth, the new additions, guys that can have an impact on this team, and it really coming down to that performance. Why don't you talk a little bit about how you got to those five guys, and I might press you a little bit on a couple of your choices there.
No, I listened to your podcast last week, because I love stuff like this where we can really dive into each other's work and, you know, just cause some discussion on these things. I love that. But I think that, you know, obviously you spoke about it last week. Josh Allen is kind of just the default number one on most of these sort of topics. But I heard you take some issue with number two and Mitch Morrison. And I understand that, because, you know, there are so many other guys that I feel like if playing at their full potential can really impact things. But the reason I went with Mitch Morris is because he has such a important job this year, and not just coming in and excelling at his position, and that is, you know, being a great blocker in the pass and the run game, but also being responsible for those around him. And I think that's something that Eric Wood maybe didn't get enough credit for, was the way that he kind of wore that C and took ownership of those around him, helping make guys better. And I think that Mitch Morris has that job to do here with not only an offensive line that wasn't that good last year, but an offensive line that has so many new pieces that he is going to be responsible for, more so than just being the center, but because of the contract that he signed. And then you add on top of that the responsibility of helping in the development of Josh Allen, which is the single most important thing on this team, in this organization. And I think that the expectations are very, very high for Mitch Morris this year. And I think if certain things are happening on this offense, you will be able to kind of trickle things back to Mitch Morris and talk about the impact at whatever level it is that he had in that success. And that's why I value him so much, and I place so much importance on his role in this offense and on this team in 2019.
Well, Matt, it's a great point. And when you talk about Eric Wood, and I think that was the piece where you can take the center position, and it's so underappreciated, because you can look back to last season where you had the competition between Russell Bodine and Ryan Groy. And when you've got two centers competing to be the starter, there is not that voice unifying that line in the locker room, right? Or when it comes throughout training camp and bringing that group together. Now there's no question who the leader of the offensive line is, and obviously such an important piece to that. And I do understand why you put him on the list, because like I said, it's, you know, until your offensive line really struggles, you don't realize how much you value that position and how much you need that. And seeing Morris is really that guy that can be the focus of the offensive line, almost the rock to that standpoint. But let's talk about some guys that might have some more potential to flash on the field. Your number three choice was Ed Oliver, which is the number nine pick coming in. I mean, there's going to be such high expectations for him as well. Kind of talk to me about that a little bit, and how he was the number three choice for you.
You know, for me, one of the big things listening to Ed Oliver over the course of the draft process, you know, I mean, we've tabbed him, you know, as a community, I feel like, you know, from a media perspective, fan perspective, as a target for the Bills going back to December. And so I paid a lot of attention to, you know, what he's had to say back at this, you know, the combine and throughout the draft process. And when he came in here, he was asked about, you know, when he felt he was really ready to compete at the NFL level. And he said he thought he was ready after his freshman year. So if you're telling me this guy has been preparing and has felt ready to compete at the NFL level for the last 2 years, my expectation then becomes he's going to hit the ground running. Put out an article today about Tre'Davious White talking about the slight that the team feels about some of the low Madden ratings. But he talked about Ed Oliver at length a bit. And he said he's been impressed with how much he's been in his playbook, how much he's been out there trying to learn. And that's one of the things that I think was one of the knocks on Ed Oliver, is he going to be a team guy? Is he going to be about all about himself? And Tre'Davious White is a guy that, you know, you really do have to impress him from a team perspective. I think the vibe that I get off of him, and for him to say those things about Ed Oliver already, that attention to the detail, you know, entering at the ground floor and trying to build each day on top of the next. And that's a big cliche they use in the locker room, but it's important. You know, as a rookie coming in, all of this stuff is going to be new. He was asked to play nose tackle last year at Houston. This year is going to be completely different. He may be more suited to play the three tech role, but it's going to be much more comprehensive in what they ask him to do. Almost a la a Tremaine Edmonds last year, going from outside linebacker in college to middle linebacker at the NFL level. Not as much, not as, they're not going to be asking Ed Oliver to do as much as they asked Tremaine Edmonds, but it's the same concept. And I think if Ed Oliver is as good as advertised, and you're talking about, you know, there was an article last week where somebody placed Ed Oliver at number two in terms of their defensive rookie of the year preseason rankings. And, you know, I think expectations should be high, and I think that can mean a lot for Jerry Hughes. Right now, there isn't another elite-level pass rusher on this roster, and, you know, there's so much talk about Jadeveon Clowney. I don't see that as a possibility just because of the draft capital that it would probably cost you to go out and get him. And I don't think Brandon Bean's willing to get rid of that at this point. So you look at Ed Oliver and you think about his ability to get after the quarterback those first 2 years when he played a little bit more at the three tech spot. And that makes me think that not only can he have an impact from his spot and what they're what they've lost in Kyle Williams, but he can impact other players like Jerry Hughes, who you mentioned last week as a guy that could be an impact player for them. And I would argue that he was an impact player for them last year. The sack numbers weren't there, but when you are posting the number one pressure rate in the NFL, you are doing your job, especially in an era of the NFL where you really can't hit quarterbacks. He's getting there and at least making things uncomfortable to let the guys at the back end, you know, a really great safety combo, one of the best young corners in the league like Tre'Davious White, do their job.
Well, and you really talk about a cause and effect there, right? And I think I mentioned it last week. When you have someone like Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes, and again, I try to temper my own expectations when it comes with Ed Oliver, knowing that he's just a rookie, but for what he can be, that right, is Ed Oliver going to have this, you know, great effect that can help increase those numbers for someone like Jerry Hughes? And you talk about the pass pressure and leading the league in that category, but for that to lead to additional sacks along the same lines as Jerry Hughes' consistent pressure that he's coming off the edge with, is that going to make things that much easier for someone like Ed Oliver? And of course, not to forget about a Trent Murphy and Shaq Lawson as well. Now, another guy that you mentioned, right, and it kind of goes hand in hand in some ways with Josh Allen, because two guys that came in as first-round draft picks during the 2018 season, Tremaine Edmonds. And many of us know Tremaine got off to a rough start in 2018 and really started to turn things around and finishing the season on a high note. I'm assuming he was an easy choice for your list, but want to give you a chance to kind of expand upon that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that you could almost see, you know, you remember the cartoons back in the day when like Bugs Bunny would get hit in the head and he'd start seeing all the stars. I felt like Tremaine Edmonds a lot at the beginning of last season. He had that look in his eyes where, you know, so many things, you know, were passing across his vision cone on the field and off the field. And I think it just got to the point where it was very overwhelming early on. But I think that the coaching staff really wanted to put him through that in year one to make things so much more comfortable for him in year two. And they were afforded that luxury last year because it was a rebuilding year. It was a year where they were going to, you know, put a lot of young pieces out on the field, more so on the offensive side of the ball. But they put Tremaine Edmonds in a spot where, okay, we're going to ask you to do a lot and we're going to ask you to learn a lot, but you're doing it alongside a lot of veteran players. You're going to play alongside a Lorenzo Alexander who's seen everything in this league, a safety combination behind you, one of the best in the league and one of the most experienced, and then obviously Kyle Williams and his experience. We talked a lot about it and wrote a lot about it last year. The process of Kyle Williams kind of passing the torch to Tremaine Edmonds with a lot of the leadership aspects of this defense and responsibilities on this defense. And I think that all of those things that happened for Tremaine Edmonds and the just unbelievable talent that he has, the size, the speed. Yeah, things were really kind of a mess at times last year early on in the season? They were. But even when things were a mess, I was still amazed at his ability to recover, his speed in tracking receivers. And I think that that's something that they relied on Matt Milano a lot in that aspect in terms of coverage last year. And I thought that Tremaine Edmonds got more confident as the season went along in coverage and really became more of an impact player. And you see it with the 12 passes defensed, the two interceptions, and just the headache that he causes in the middle of that defense at that second level for quarterbacks. I think the sky's the limit, and I think he's just going to only build on that as we get into year two.
Well, with Tremaine Edmonds just turning 21 years old, I mean, the sky's the limit when it comes for him. And you talk about the progression that he made last season, and all Bills fans are excited to see what he can do in 2019. Now, the last guy on your list we haven't talked about yet, and I think it's an interesting one for me, right? You had number four, Zay Jones at wide receiver. And in some ways, I feel like you could pick one of the four wide receivers for the Bills, whether it's Jones, Robert Foster, John Brown, or Cole Beasley. And you really need one of those guys to step up and be, I don't want to say a number one wide receiver, because I think when people say that, they're talking about an Antonio Brown type or a Julio Jones, but someone to become the alpha out of this wide receiver core. And you went with Zay Jones. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because I think you, again, right, and this is a recurring theme for us, the finish that he had in 2018 showed a lot of promise for what the future can be in his rapport with Josh Allen.
So I think there's a lot of question marks, you know, with this receiving core. The more you dive into it, they brought in Cole Beasley and John Brown, and I think those are great additions, and I think that they have the potential to be impact additions. But they haven't done anything on the field with Josh Allen yet. Robert Foster was unreal at moments last season, and I even thought that, you know, at times there was some consistency there, but, you know, we're talking about an undrafted free agent. Like, you know, a lot of what we talked about Tremaine Edmonds, that was probably going on for Robert Foster last year, to go from being pretty much not utilized at Alabama to thrown into the mix, and at times, you know, the number two or number one even receiver on this team last year in terms of targets. And I think that you take all of those factors in, and, you know, the what ifs, I think the one thing that we can say from last season is that Zay Jones took a step forward and, you know, showed improvement in various areas. I like the fact that he's coming into 2019, been able to go through the offseason program mostly healthy. He suffered the injury right before mini camp, but I think that was more precautionary. But has he been able to work on his body? Has been able to work on his route running. He's coming in as with a great mindset in terms of he wants to be a leader on this team, but he's not going the Kelvin Benjamin route, saying that he's the number one guy and that it's his receiver room and this and that. He basically said at OTAs that everybody's going to chip in from a leadership perspective. There's things that John Brown brings to the table. There's things that Cole Beasley and his experience in Dallas brings to the table. And there's things that he feels he can bring as a leader in that wide receiver room. So I just like his mindset. I like what he's gone through over the course of his career on the field and off the field to get him to this point. And now it's a prove it year. It's a year three. We've seen the best of John Brown. We've seen the best of Cole Beasley. But I'm not so sure that we've seen the best of Zay Jones quite yet. Maybe we have. Maybe he's peaked. I'm not really at a place where I'm ready to say that yet. But I do think that if there's more to Zay Jones, if he can creep up to maybe, a little dog action there. If he can creep up to 100 catches, or maybe creep up to 1,000 yards, or even just approach those numbers, I think now you're just adding a completely different dynamic and dimension to this offense. And then all this other stuff, the playmaking ability of Brown and Foster, and the consistency and reliability of Beasley, man, all of a sudden you got a lot to work with.
Well, it's going to be exciting to see how it plays out, not just different roster battles for the Buffalo Bills, but again, how these guys can step up, because there is a lot of young talent on this Bills roster, and really just touched base on a few of those guys today. Matt, I've got to say, right, since you've come on the Bills beat just over a year ago, I so many fans appreciate the work that you do using different platforms and Twitter and Instagram and live video chats and all of these different pieces. But just in case people here aren't following or not up to speed with your work, how can everybody find you throughout your social media channels and online?
Yeah, I pretty much put everything out on Twitter in one way or the other. So at Matt Perino is a great place to start. And then Buffalo Bills on NY Up is the thing to remember. And you can, by typing that in, you can usually find our Instagram page, our Facebook page, and we're at Bills Updates on Twitter. And definitely don't forget about my tag team partner, Ryan Talbot. He's awesome at what he does, great Bills analyst, and also, you know, a guy that's always out there looking for all the latest breaking news on the digital platforms, because we live in a completely different age. Like the beat writers are such an important part of the established media coverage, but tracking the social conversation and, you know, what's happening in all these different places is just as important in my view these days. And he does a great job with that. And I'm lucky to have him as my partner. And we're just trying to give you everything that you want, listening to what everybody wants. And the Bills fan base has just amazed me in this first year at how much they consume content, how much they want to be part of that conversation. And it makes my job a lot more fun. And I enjoy your work as well, Mr. Marino.
Well, you guys both do a great job, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Ryan as well. Back in the day, Matt, Ryan and I used to do a video podcast for the old Bills Mafia website. So, you know, we used to have some of those technical difficulties there too that we encountered before we started our recording today. So, but anyway, appreciate you joining us on Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. Would love to have you again sometime, and obviously want to wish you the best of luck leading up to training camp. We know it's going to be crazy, but we appreciate all the work you guys are doing and following along with all the updates for the Buffalo Bills as they head into 2019 training camp.
Thanks so much for having me on, buddy, and I look forward to the next one.
All right, talk to you soon.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.